now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned into the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How's your week been going so far? Pretty good?
Yep.
Yeah, it's going pretty damn good for me, too. You know, it's Wednesday. It's March. It's fairly nice outside. I got basketball. We're coming off. I don't know about you, man, but like a basketball guy like me, I don't care who's playing. I have been watching the games. Yeah, I have been watching these games, and I have been enjoying myself. And not only have I been enjoying myself as I watch the game, I have also been enjoying a cold glass of Greenwood whiskey. Did you know the Commissioner's Conversation is brought to you by my good people at Greenwood Whiskey? Yeah, celebration whiskey, man. So why not celebrate a nice weekend full of basketball with Greenwood Whiskey? This week, though, we're going to talk about all of the things. Well, not all of the things, but we're going to talk about a lot of the stuff that happens during March Madness. We're going to highlight some of the upsets. We're going to talk about some of the things that took place in terms of the teams that we saw, some of the players that we saw. We're going to talk about the discrepancy in how the men are being treated as opposed to the women are being treated. We're going to talk about that. Also, I feel like we got to, you know what I'm saying? I feel like we have to talk about Deshaun Watson and what the hell is going on with this situation with him. And I think it's up to 14 massage therapists now. We got to talk about it. And then, you know, we'll talk about what's going on around the NBA. Injuries have happened. We're running up on the trade deadline. And so we have to discuss it. So without any further ado, let's get right to it.
Commissioner Gordon.
Yep, like I said before, March Madness is underway, man. And not just for the men, but also for the women. And the NCAA, what they wound up doing was putting both men and women inside of a bubble. You know, the NBA did it and it seemed pretty successful. And so why not try it? We're going to try to have this thing go and make as much money as possible without anyone getting sick, without anyone getting hurt. Now, the men, they had a game that was canceled, but the women have not so far. So everything has been successful in that part of the bubble. But what hasn't been so successful is the way that these women are being treated. Oregon Senator Sedona Prince basically took to social media to highlight all of the differences that were going on in the way that the men's facilities are looking and the women's facilities are looking. She showed the men's weight room, a workout room, and it looks like, you know, what you would imagine a workout facility looks like for athletes who are going out here to showcase their talents, to showcase their skill and athletic ability to millions of viewers. It looks like state-of-the-art equipment. And then she panned over to what the women's equipment looked like, and it looked like your homeboy's home gym down in his basement. For real, like they legit had a rack of dumbbells and three, maybe four yoga mats with a sign that says women's basketball tournament on them. I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny. Like, that was legit their workout facility. And the NCAA was put on blast, and they came back and tried to say, they gave some flimsy answer about it not being enough space. Because usually in that type of thing, they would come back and, you know, everybody would give the money discrepancy. Well, the men bring in X amount of dollars and the women don't bring in that much money or whatever that to equal up. So the facilities and workout equipment probably wouldn't add up. Wrong. That's not what they use because they know that's a flimsy answer. So they tried to say that they didn't have enough space. And then Prince proceeded to say, oh, if that's going to be your response, how about you look at this? And she panned over to where, like I said, there was the little rack of dumbbells and the yoga mats. And she pans around and there's just like this big warehouse facility looking space to where you could have put up all kinds of equipment, but they just didn't. Why? Probably just because they didn't want to. Like, they didn't care enough for the women's game to even try. They didn't try. But it has gone beyond just the weight room. Like, they showed discrepancies in the food. They've shown discrepancies in even how they get COVID tested. Yeah, it's been documented. There's a difference in the COVID testing protocols all the way down to the food that they're being served. So what's going on is there is a COVID test that's more accurate. It probably takes a little longer, but it's more accurate. And they give that to the men. Then there's a test that's more rapid. You know, you run this test, and if something's flagged on this test, then they'll give you the more accurate test. But that's what's being going on with the women. So men are getting the accurate test, which is probably the more expensive test, I would presume. While they kind of rolling the dice on the women, and if they see something, then you go and you get the accurate, high quality accuracy test. But all I can say, man, is shame on the NCAA. Shame on them for being so tone deaf that even in this climate, that how could you even consider proposing those differences, proposing different food, proposing a different workout, like the sweat, the gift bags. The gift bags are even different. Even the most minor details, they shortchanged them. The men had all of this stuff. There's a picture. You can go on Instagram or you can go on Twitter. You can see it. There's a picture of all this stuff that the men get, whether it's whoever is the sponsor, whatever, body wash and deodorant and T-shirts and all kind of electronic stuff. And, you know, you got all kind of stuff and it just says March Madness, the big dance and all of this. And then you look over at the women and it's like a bag, a T-shirt and some socks. And maybe a puzzle. I think somebody told me they had a puzzle. Right, a puzzle. To be so blatant about it, like crazy, the shit didn't even say March Madness for the women. It didn't say big dance. It just said women's tournament. What? Like, I don't get it, bro. When you have meetings for things like this, there are a group of people who get together and they organize, okay, I'm going to order this caterer. I'm going to order this company to put together our gift bags for the players. There are meetings for things like this. Someone had to consciously make the call that I'm not calling that guy. I'm not calling Chef A. I'm calling Chef Z. I'm not calling Company A, I'm calling Company B. We're not giving them test A, we're giving them test D. Someone had to actually make those decisions, and that's why I'm saying shame. Shame because it's a choice. Like I said, it's a choice to give men gourmet meals and then to turn around and give the women basically a sack lunch. or a hungry man dinner. It's a choice. It's a choice for the men to have accurate COVID testing. It's a choice for the women's gift bags to not even acknowledge what's going on. You get a t-shirt, some socks, and it just says women's tournament. That's why I say shame, because it's a choice. And the NCAA president, Mark Emmert, comes out and he's basically hit you with the, oh, my bad, we didn't know, it was a mistake, but, you know, we're going to make some changes. And they have come back since then, and they put more weights and they put more equipment in the workout facility. They've done that. But you can't just my bad this. You can't just I'm sorry this. You can't say it was a mistake, because it was not a mistake. It wasn't. It was a dumbass decision is what it was. That's what it was. It was a dumbass decision. And in 2021, with the climate going on and everyone screaming for equality, everyone is screaming for equality, whether it's about gender, whether it's about race, whether it's about religion, sexuality, everyone is screaming for equality. And you made the choice to be assholes. You made the choice to be disrespectful. And then to come out and just be like, oh, it was a mistake. Nah, dog. It ain't no mistake. You showed us who you were. You showed us who you are, and you've been showing us time and time again. The only reason why I don't call for people to boycott the NCAA is because there are millions and millions of young people that this would affect, because I don't have a plan in place that I could say, don't use this. Don't use the NCAA. Use this system instead. I don't have that plan. So because I don't have that plan, it's the only reason why I cannot say, don't rock with the NCAA. But trust and believe, if I put together a plan, that's your ass, Mr. Postman.
Commissioner Gordon.
And while we're talking about the women's game for March Madness, man, honestly, just me knowing a lot of these schools' tradition, just me knowing a lot of these schools' coaches, I could have basically closed my eyes and probably could have told you three of the four schools that would have been the number one seed in this tournament. Like, that's off the top of my head. I would have told you South Carolina was the number one seed. You would have known that also. I could have told you that UConn would have been the number one seed. You would have known that. I could have told you that Stanford would have been the number one seed, and you probably would have known that as well. Now, what I wouldn't have told you, I don't know anything about NC State and what their program has been about, but they are also a number one seed. They're the fourth number one seed. And once again, I'm not going to sit here and act like I've been watching a ton of women's basketball. I have not, because I told you last week, I haven't been watching a ton of men's basketball. In terms of college, I've been watching a little bit, but I hadn't been watching a ton of it. I didn't watch enough to make myself a quote unquote expert on making these picks. But I will say, you pretty much already know how I'm going to pick. I'll go ahead and go out on a limb and pick the national championship game if you want me to, because you pretty much know the vibes with UConn. UConn keeps an all-star squad. You know what I'm saying? They've been on a run for a while. They don't always win, but their squad stays packed full of hoopers. And this year is no different. They have a young lady by the name of Paige Beckers, who I watched some highlights of. I think she was featured in something like Slam Magazine. And I watched some highlights of her. And when I say you can't judge a book by its cover, man, I was like, oh, okay, this little girl right here is going to be, and she was out there balling. They also have a young lady, Aaliyah Edwards, and she's a hooper. So, you know, I can't go against UConn. And I just told you, South Carolina, I can't go against South Carolina. I'm a big fan of their head coach, Dawn Staley. I have been a big fan since she was in college. I have been a big fan since she was on Team USA playing basketball. I have been a big fan since she was in the WNBA. So I support her and root her on for pretty much everything that I see her doing in terms of basketball. So for my two uneducated picks, what I'm going to do is I'll be the first one to tell you, like I said, it's uneducated, but I noticed that they were on the opposite side of the brackets. I don't know if that's for a reason. I don't know if that's by design, but I'm going to tell you that my championship picks are going to be South Carolina versus UConn.
Commissioner Gordon.
Sticking with women's college basketball, I think it's only right that I send this shout out. And because in March Madness, a friend of mine and I were talking about how, like I said, Gino Auriemma is going on this run, but we missed the days of Pat Summitt. I always think of Pat Summitt whenever I think of college basketball for women. And I mean, like I said, no offense to UConn and the run they've been making under Coach Auriemma, but to me, Pat Summitt is the GOAT. And so I'm delighted to see that her roots are starting to grow and bear fruit. I recently read an article on NBCSports.com that talked about Kyra Ilsey and Kelly Harper and how they were both a part of that crazy run that Tennessee went on. Tennessee won in 1996. They won in 1997. They also won in 1998. Well, those coaches, well, they're coaches now, but those ladies were a part of the program during that period. Harper was on all three of those teams that won in 96, 97, and 98. Ilsey was just on the 97 and 98 squad. Well, now what they're doing is they have started their careers in coaching, and they're leading their teams to the NCAA tournament, and they've advanced past the first round. Now, I hate to say that they both have lost in the second round, but I will say that Kelly Harper, and just to let you know, Kelly Harper is now coaching her alma mater. She's coaching the Lady Vols of Tennessee. And Kyra Ilsey is coaching the Kentucky Wildcats. And like I said, they both have hit a wall in the second round of the tournament. But I would like to extend my well wishes. I would like to say good luck in the future to both coaches and to both programs. And I would encourage you to keep an eye on both of those squads.
Commissioner Gordon.
Yo, it's getting warmer outside. And I know I told you about all the custom hoodies that I had been getting from my good people at 323 Custom Apparel. Well, guess what? They don't just do hoodies. They also do t-shirts. They also do jerseys. They also do shorts. They can do whatever you want them to do. They can design whatever you come up with. They can put it out there. All you got to do is check them out on Facebook, 323 Custom Apparel.
On Instagram at 323_custom_apparel.
Tell them what you want. They'll make it happen. At 323 Custom Apparel, make your clothing your statement.
Commissioner Gordon.
Before we move on to the men's side of the bracket, Reese Boogie, hit me with the intro to I Told Y'all and My Bad.
It's time for...
Alright. You was right, I was wrong.
I told y'all. Y'all better believe it.
I told y'all, man. We sat up here and I talked about a bunch of the sleepers. I talked about a bunch of the teams that I thought that could possibly upset some teams. And I was slightly under 50%, being 500, you know what I'm saying? So, I told y'all, though. I told y'all Syracuse would put out San Diego State. And it happened. And Syracuse is balling. Syracuse is in the Sweet 16. I told you that I thought Rutgers would put out Clemson. And guess what they did? They put out Clemson. They would later go on to get put out by Houston. But I told y'all that Rutgers would be better than Clemson. And I told y'all that Syracuse was better than San Diego State. Now, my bad. And I say my bad with a grain of salt because I feel a certain type of way about how some of these teams lost. Like, for instance, I told you that I thought Georgia Tech would beat Loyola of Chicago, right? Well, that's before I found out that Moses Wright wasn't playing. He came out, he was up under the COVID protocol. He could not play, and he did not play. And then Georgia Tech loses to Loyola. How was I supposed to know that? My bad. Also, UC Santa Barbara was a layup away from beating Creighton. Like I told y'all, they were a layup away. The young man gets to the paint. I think he was banking on the ref making a call. The ref didn't make the call. He puts the layup up kind of weak, and it rims in and lips out. And what happens? UC Santa Barbara loses by 1 point, and Creighton is headed to the Sweet 16. My bad. I also picked Winthrop over Villanova, and yeah, that didn't work out for me either. My bad, y'all. But I was this close. So sticking into the men's tournament, what did we learn? Well, we kind of learned that the Big Ten is trash, right? Well, everybody except for Michigan. And we learned that they be hooping in the Pac-12. How many of y'all picked USC to be in the Sweet 16? You a damn lie. Put your hand down. While watching USC versus Oregon, keep an eye out for my guy, Evan Mobley. I think we talked about him a little bit last week. Also, I talked about him with Deshaun Tate and asked him about him. Check us out on YouTube at the Commissioner's Conversation and see what my guy Tate thought about him. But he'll be a lottery pick in the upcoming draft. Easy. And with each game, he showcases more skills and his stock is rising. Easy. Creighton is in the Sweet 16. You know, like I said a little earlier, and I told y'all, my bad. I had them losing to UC Santa Barbara in the opener. You know, my bad. What are the big stories? Syracuse versus Houston, man. I think that's going to be a good-ass game. Like, once again, I told y'all about Syracuse. But look out for this game because it's one of those where they say styles make fights. You know, you got Jim Boeheim and this stingy 2-3 zone defense that they like to run up. And then you got Houston who want to get out and go and showcase the horses. So it's going to be interesting to see that game. I can't wait to see it. I will definitely be tuned in. Big salute out to Oral Roberts. Like, these dudes came out there. They beat Ohio State. And then turn around and beat Florida. Shouts out to you. And then you got the Baylor Bears. Baylor Bears, I put out on Twitter, they hitting stride. They looking real dangerous out here. And I had to think to myself, okay, I didn't really consider them as a national championship favorite, and I should have. But as I went through my brackets on ESPN that I filled out, just jumping into some stuff, I realized that I did on one of my brackets. I only filled out two. I don't do the whole, I'm going to fill out 50 brackets. Nah, I'll fill out two. But in one of them, I picked them to go to the national championship game. So I did give Baylor the proper respect that they deserve. and they were looking a little shaky in like the first game, but they're starting to hit stride, so look out for Baylor. Like, they could legit be there at the end. Now, if I had to redo my Final Four picks, from what's available, I probably would, I mean, I keep it fairly close to what I have. Like, only team that I don't have that I probably would put in would be Houston. So, like, in one, I legit have Baylor and Michigan and Gonzaga. You know what I'm saying? So, like, but what I did was I had Baylor, Michigan, Gonzaga, and I had Oklahoma State as opposed to Baylor. And in that bracket, I got Michigan winning the championship. Then in my second one, I got two out. Like I said, I had Gonzaga in the Final Four, Florida State in the Final Four, which they could be. I had Purdue in the Final Four, which they're not going to be. And I had Oklahoma State, which I just told you before. They're not there either. And in that bracket, I have Gonzaga as the champ. And like I said, from what I've seen, that's a lot better bracket than a lot of other people. But also, it's not as good as some other people. So we'll see how this thing goes, man. I encourage you to continue to watch. You know, like I said, the weekend is coming up. It's going to be chock full of games. And I know I am going to be sitting down with my Greenwood whiskey, and I'm going to be watching the games and enjoying myself. Whether it's a team that I didn't want to win, I'll drink to that. If it's a team that I did want to win, I'll drink to that. But I will be drinking responsibly with Greenwood whiskey, because Greenwood whiskey is celebration whiskey. And Greenwood whiskey encourages you to drink responsibly.
Commissioner Gordon.
Hey, man. These numbers keep piling up on old Deshaun Watson, don't they? At the moment, I think that I was just looking at, I think the 14th woman has filed a civil suit against him. And me, probably like you, at first, I was a little skeptical, thought it was a little fishy at the fact that, you know, the timing of it all seemed a little crazy. It was like, okay, Deshaun Watson doesn't want to play for Houston. All of a sudden, a sexual allegation comes out against Deshaun Watson. And it was like Houston kind of setting him up like, okay, you don't want to play for us? Well, you ain't going to play for no damn body. And at that particular time, Deshaun Watson did what anybody would do. He put out a statement on social media, and he's like, yo, this ain't me. I've treated women with the utmost respect, and this ain't what I've done. I look forward to clearing my name. He said all of the things that you were supposed to say. But dog, that was like 13 women ago. Since then, he ain't said a word. Like, I haven't heard anything from Deshaun Watson. I need to hear something from Deshaun Watson if I'm going to believe that you have some remnants of innocence in this. I need Deshaun Watson to tweet out at one point in time, I don't know her, I didn't hire her. Something. Give me something. Because it's looking bad for you. You know what I'm saying? It's looking terrible. Because these numbers are climbing. Every day, I think the lawyer said he has at least 6 more women who are willing to press charges. Well, at least civilly. In a civil suit. And I know that you really should not allow a situation like this to play out in the court of social media. But like I said, man, at some point in time, dog, you got to defend yourself. You know, that whole thing about that one statement, you got to do more. Because it's starting to look a little funny. And not on their part. Now it's looking funny on your part. Because all of these women, like, well, not all of them, but there's a couple of these women they're starting to produce evidence. You know what I'm saying? That anytime someone has accused you of sexual assault and told the story about you asking them to focus on your glutes, focus on your groin, pulling out your penis, brushing your penis against them, and having an uncomfortable discussion about that's not my job, and they produce the evidence of you sending a text message saying, I hope I didn't make you feel uncomfortable. You just lost in my eyes. Because that's all you need in a civil suit. Now, criminally, he may have to produce something else. I mean, the young lady, their team may have to produce something else. But in a civil court, that's all that's needed. Because you just admitted to putting this young lady into an uncomfortable situation. And you're hoping she didn't get offended. You're hoping that she didn't feel a certain way. And you're admitting to doing so. And that, like I said, that's giving me, or that's giving the judge, or that's giving a lawyer, all they need to know. But I got two more questions that need to be answered, and that are answering as we, you know, as we discuss this. One, with these many women talking about he exposed himself and he's touching them, how long is it before the law get involved? You know, because one woman saying something, three women saying something, we're up to 13, 14 women saying something. Like I said, the lawyer is talking about he got six in the chamber. It's starting to sound like you are a serial sexual predator. And as I say that, I see that the attorney for all 14 of these women, his name is Tony Busby. He has stated that his firm could be planning to submit this information that and the evidence that they have to the Houston police. Now, yes, that could be a tactic to try to make Deshaun Watson cave and basically say, I'm going to settle this and give these young ladies what they're asking for, however much money it is. Or it could be him standing on and finding more and more troubling evidence that makes you look like a serial sexual predator. Now, since then, the Houston District Attorney's Office has basically declined comment, though, about the criminal charges, because they have said they cannot and will not talk about the situation until charges are officially filed. So, once again, we'll see how that goes in terms of whether or not Deshaun Watson will be criminally charged as a sexual predator. The second question that I have is, what the hell the NFL gonna do? You know what I'm saying? Because the NFL has shown in cases like this, there's no clear-cut plan. There's no by the book. You look at the wall, you read the rules, and it says, if you do this, you get this. If you do that, you get that. There's none of that. There's always a play it how it goes type situation. Two people can do the same thing and get two totally different punishments in the eyes of the NFL. I've heard rumors of him being suspended with pay. I've heard rumors of the NFL doing nothing and acting normal as if everything was everything, and just letting the case play out and then act on what's going on. But it has been confirmed that the league is going to do and conduct its own independent investigation before they do anything. So currently, they should be in talks to the Deshaun's lawyer. They should be in talks with these 14, the lawyer of these 14 young ladies, and trying to get to the bottom of what's going on. Yes, I know it's not their job, but it is their league. And if they're going to set a precedent and get ahead of this thing, then they have to do their due diligence. Because let's be honest, man, this whole thing got real hot real quick. Because just about a month ago, I can specifically remember people arguing with me on Twitter, on social media, telling me how great of a guy Deshaun Watson is. They were telling me that this dude was so much of a good guy that he wouldn't even attempt to opt out of his contract, to demand to be traded, to say or threaten that he would sit out a season because he no longer wants to play in Houston and the climate that was going on. They swore by this dude. And not only has he asked to be traded, he blew past that. He is allegedly, and I'm saying this again, allegedly, because I have no idea what happened. None whatsoever. But he is allegedly, possibly, a serial sexual predator. And I have to keep saying that. I have to keep saying that because that's what it is. Like when you approach innocent people that are at work, their place of business, and you turn that into something where they're put in a position that violates them physically, that violates them mentally, that violates them sexually, in my opinion, you're a sick person. You're a predator. Because if you want a freaky deaky massage, there are places for that. There are places you can go. There are people you can talk to. If that's what you want. If you want just straight up sex, there are places for that. There's people that you can talk to. There's people that you can actually send your messages to, and they'll be with it. They with whatever you with. But to take someone who's truly trying to do a job and turning it into something totally different is flat out disgusting. Allegedly.
Commissioner Gordon.
Real quickly, man, I want to go around the NBA just because it's about that time. Like I said, as we get closer and closer to the playoffs, we are starting to hear, and actually we're getting closer and closer to the trade deadline also. You know, we're starting to hear a bunch of rumors, we're starting to see a bunch of different things take shape, and it's going to make for an interesting playoff scenario, to say the least. Like, I think we talked a couple weeks ago or a week ago, and I told you that the Hawks were doing well since Nate McMillan had taken over for Coach Lloyd Pierce. Well, they lost their first game the other night against the LA Clippers. And so now they're 8-1 under the administration of head coach Nate McMillan. And in my opinion, the team is just looking better. It's finishing better, and they're playing with a little more enthusiasm. I think there's a little more clarity about what role you're going to play, what role you're going to play in crunch time. And so it's going to be interesting to see how they, first of all, where they're seated. Because like I said, they were eighth when we talked last time, and now they're like fourth or fifth in the East. So it's going to be interesting to see where they're placed, where they finish, who they match up against, and also keep your eye open, because I'm hearing rumors of trades. So let's keep an eye out for who's actually on this roster come playoff time. Well, also in the second quarter, before the Hawks played the Clippers, they played the Lakers. And in that second quarter of that game, I can't remember what player it was, but he rolled up on LeBron, and basically LeBron suffered a high ankle sprain, and they're saying that he's probably going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. I know we all look at LeBron like he's indestructible and he's Superman, but they're saying he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, and this to me is going to mean the Lakers have to make a desperate run at Andre Drummond. They need someone, anyone who can score. They need someone with a presence. Kyle Kuzma ain't it. What's your boy name? Montrezl Harrell ain't it. KCP ain't it. That's not a playoff team. They're not going to hold the rope until LeBron gets back 4 to 6 weeks from now. Especially not with Anthony Davis still being out. You're going to need someone like Andre Drummond who can go in here, who can get buckets, who can command a double team, and who can possibly help Montrezl Harrell look better, who can help Dennis Schroeder look better, who can help KCP look better, THT, and all the other damn initials. He can help these dudes look better. Because if not, they could very well find themselves on the outside looking in of this playoff party. And I've heard people say, oh, no, the Lakers, they'll still be there. When you look at the way the West is shaped up and you look at the length of time that LeBron is supposed to be out, like I said, 4 to 6 weeks, and we have no idea about Anthony Davis, if he's out too long, they're not a playoff team, and they will be beat, and they will be on the outside looking in. Another injury in the NBA that's shaking kind of, I won't say shaking people up, but it's, you know, it's being talked about as major. LaMelo Ball has fractured his right wrist Saturday against the Clippers, and he's slated to be out the rest of the season. Now, I will say this, while I don't have a vote for Rookie of the Year, if I did have a vote, I would still vote Melo Ball, Rookie of the Year, even with him missing the remainder of the season. I would. But I don't have a vote. You know what I'm saying? And with him being out, it may be one of those things like out of sight, out of mind with some of these voters. And then you add into the equation the flash and the showmanship and all that Ant-Man is doing. Anthony Edwards, all that he's doing every week, he's got a monster dunk. The other day, he's been going for like 40. Him and Karl Anthony Towns went crazy in a win. I think it was over Phoenix. But they went for about 40 each. And he's putting it together. Like, he was legit a second choice for me. But I just think that the impact that LaMelo Ball had would have made him still be the Rookie of the Year, because he had the Charlotte Hornets. I mean, yes, I'll give you the fact that Gordon Hayward is on the team and he's playing pretty well also. But LaMelo Ball had the Charlotte Hornets as a nice seeded playoff team. And we'll see where they go from here. But now that, like I said, since he's been injured, I do think that the award will probably go to Anthony Edwards of Minnesota. I told you earlier, we're approaching the trade deadline. Keep an eye out for some of these trades. The deadline is Thursday. I'm hearing rumors of Victor Oladipo moving. Kyle Lowry could be on the move. LaMarcus Aldridge. Aaron Gordon. Lonzo Ball, the brother, could all be in play. Like, those are just some of the names that I've been hearing about in terms of player movement. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on. I've heard, if we're going to keep it local, I heard someone say Cam Reddish and a pick for Lonzo Ball. I don't know what that does for us in the backfield, in the backcourt. I'm not a fan of it, but I'm just like, it's just when there's stuff starting to happen, you'll start to hear more. And it's like the where there's smoke, there's fire. So you know that Lonzo is in play. You know that the Hawks are interested in something. Watch out for those teams. Like I said, LaMarcus Aldridge, Aaron Gordon, Lonzo Ball, Kyle Lowry, Victor Oladipo. Those are just some of the bigger names that I've been hearing about. Keep your eyes peeled and let me know. We can chop it up on Twitter at G Robinson Sports when some of this stuff breaks. You can always check me out on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon. I have been told recently by someone that I have some of the best stories on the gram. It's just that I don't have as many eyes to see them as others do. So check me out there at the.commissioner.gordon. Also, like I said, I have a lot of stuff coming up on YouTube. I got a couple guys who I'm sure that you'll love to hear from coming up. And we're gonna keep it light. We're gonna keep it fun. We're gonna talk about all kind of stuff, sports related, and it's gonna be a good time on YouTube. All you have to do is type in Commissioner's Conversation, and there I'll be. You can see all the stuff that I've talked about before, and like I said, like and subscribe, and then you'll be updated with stuff to come in the future. Again, I take this time to thank you for tuning in to the Commissioner's Conversation with me, your host, Commissioner Gordon. I appreciate you tuning in every Wednesday. I appreciate you listening. All I ask is that you tell a friend and you tell them to tell a friend. Repost, like, subscribe, do all of those things, and I appreciate you. I appreciate you for tuning in. I appreciate my producer and engineer, Young Reese Boogie. Salute to you. I appreciate you. And again, check me out, Instagram, Twitter. We'll talk about all the latest things that are going on. Thank you again. Until next week, I'll holla.
Okay, bye.